About 80% of Amazon deforestation is because of the meat industry.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just, this is the
wow.
I think I read somewhere that Amazon forests are being deforested at the pace of one Belgium a year. So this little country of Belgium.
Oh my God.
And this is done just to be able to produce more and more meat.
Unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. And we're talking about roughly 20% of global gas emissions, which is the main cause for a global warming that is caused because of this industry.
Welcome to 20 Minute Leaders. Just sit back, relax, and learn from the leaders of today. It's a journey. Each one is different, unique, inspiring. Let's get started.
20 Minute Leaders is a proud supporter of Make-A-Wish Israel and Tech to Peace, and is in proud collaboration with Secret Chord Ventures, J Ventures, Riverside FM, Fusion VC, Birthright Excel, J Impact, Leap, Google for Startups, and Hippo, and in media partnership with CTech.
Welcome to 20 Minute Leaders. Today, I'm with Dr. Ishai Mishor, MTE's founder. Prior to MTE, Ishai was founder and CEO of Ena Mishpat, a legal tech startup. His 20-year career spans law, business, academia, and politics, including serving as chief of staff to the president of Israel. Ishai holds a PhD in law from the University of Oxford and was a professor at Oxford. If you're interested in the future of meat and meat the end, this is Ishai Mishol.
Ishai Mishol, welcome to 20 Minute Leaders. Thank you so much for joining me today. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. I'm sitting here at the plant and both of us are ready for the interview.
I love it. And I love the entrance with the inside joke from right before we started the podcast. Ishai, your journey is phenomenal from the political scene and making a huge difference with government here to academia, to legal tech and startups, to now food tech, running a company, Meet the End, with a very, very clear mission statement. I'm very curious to unpack and unravel a little bit about, you know, what you guys are doing and a little bit about how you're bringing that vision to life. So perhaps you can start, tell me a little bit about Meet the End as what you're doing. And then I'd love to backtrack and sort of go through your journey quickly and understand how all these pieces fit together to form what you're doing today.
Sure. So Meet the End is a food tech company. We're about 2 years old. We produce and develop a protein ingredients for the meat alternative industry with the idea that if we can produce better, more attractive, more tasty, and cheaper ingredients, that will help the entire industry speed up this transition from meat to the alternatives of meat. This company what we sell are ingredients and formulas. So to clients, which are food companies. So it's a B2B mm-hmm. company. The mm-hmm. philosophy behind that is that if we can get in touch with as many food companies around the world, that will help us make a wide impact.
Amazing.
That's the main idea here, yeah.
Well, there's a lot to unpack from this main idea. And before we do that, take me back to some of your previous experiences. And I'm really curious to hear them in the context of what you extracted from those experiences, what you learned as a leader yourself, whether it be as, you know, chief of staff to the president of Israel, doing a PhD in law from University of Oxford, lecturing there, to running your company, Ena Mishpat. So let's go through some of these experiences, Ishai, and share with me a little bit about what qualities or what lessons you've learned that made a profound impact on the way that you are a leader today.
Okay, well, I studied law and economics for undergrad in Jerusalem. And what always attracted me was the macro questions in studies of economics as well as in law. So always looking at, I always found big picture to be really intriguing. I did my my master's and my PhD in combination of macroeconomic theories and constitutional law. So again, from the legal and the economic perspective. And I was always very drawn into places where you can use deeper thinking and planning, in one word, strategy, to make our lives better. So how planning can affect our, through politics, so our social policy, economic policy, education policy, and so on. And so that was the kind of like the first step I did as, you know, right after graduation. I worked for about a year in the Israeli Supreme Court. I was very lucky to be the last clerk for Aharon Barak, who was Israel's chief justice of the Supreme Court, like the mythological judge. And right after that, like there was a weekend of rest, and right after that, I went to work in the Knesset, in the parliament. And the reason why I'm using this, it's for me like the start of a kind of a really crazy professional story, because the difference between working in the court and working in the parliament is all the difference that you can think of when you think about public policy. In the Knesset, I did several positions of strategy and management. And what was always really interesting for me is to see how you can, again, as I said, how you can generate plans for policy and then see them, you know, going through, identifying the problem and thinking about solution. And then I hit reality. And there was like this big brick wall called reality, which in politics is a very, very hard wall to hit.
I heard the reality coming in right now. It was an aha moment.
There is someone really smart that I love. The guy who wrote
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
So in the second book, the one about the restaurant at the end of the universe, says that it's Douglas Adams, right? He said the major problem, one of the major problems, for there are several, with governing people, is that you get to do it. I mean, who you get to do it, and it's a well known fact that people who want to rule other people are those least suited to do it. So anyone capable of getting himself or herself elected president should by no account be allowed to do the job. It's used as a joke, but there's something so inherently problematic when you think about it, because what you need to have in you to be elected for a high position in politics is a set of skills that are very different from the ones you need to be a good governor. Some people are so lucky to have both of these sets. And these are the big leaders that we have. But most people, if they're good in being elected, they aren't necessarily good in governing. And I think that this is a problem that we have not only in Israeli politics, but all over the world. It doesn't mean we don't need politics. Politics is our only way of doing stuff. You know, as a country, as a society, we have to have it. But I don't think it was, I didn't find myself there. In the last few years when I was working as in the president's chambers in Israel and later with the head of position, I was dealing quite a lot with climate change.
And this is now where I see where things are starting to come together.
That's the Greek wall. When I realized that this is just unbelievable, because it is truly a catastrophe that we are all, you know, driving into. And there are very, not simple solutions, but very clear solutions for what we need to do. And still our political systems, and again, all over the world, just fail to do the obvious, fail to do what is hard, but is undoubtedly necessary. And that's like the beginning of my realization that politics may not be the right place to advance change in this in this field.
Wow. Okay. So share with me sort of this brick wall that you've hit and sort of the realization of what's happening. And because it sounds like it really led you to do a shift in mindset over where you want to be spending your time and what your contribution is through your work. So what was it really about, you know, the situation, the climate change crisis, that coupled with your own personality that led you to start Meet the End? What was this constellation together here?
I want to take like two steps back and say something general about about the food industry, because it was very quickly I realized that the place to make change as an entrepreneur is through food. Why is that?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows this is a very well used fact that the food industry is one of the leading causes in many aspects, the single most destructive industry to our planet.
Mm-hmm.
From industrial revolution, humankind has managed to improve immensely our production capabilities. And we now can produce so much stuff that generates more more and more demand. And this is true in everything, in clothing, in communication, and in food. Problem is, what is the cost for that? We produce today so much more food than we need in certain countries. And I'm not even getting into the question of how we, what's the distribution between different countries and between continents, which is another problem here. And this is leading us into an absolutely devastating consequences. The food system and specifically animal-based food industry has managed to create an unbelievable, effective, mass scale production capabilities. And this is serving a demand that is much higher than what we really need. And the outcome is deforestation. About 80% of Amazon deforestation is because of the meat industry.
Wow.
Yeah. It's just, this is the
wow. Cause.
I think I read somewhere that Amazon forests are being deforested at the pace of one Belgium a year. So the size country of Belgium.
Oh my God.
And this is done just to be able to produce more and more meat.
Unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. And we're talking about roughly 20% of global gas emissions, which is the main cause for global warming that is caused because of this industry. The solution is under our nose. It's about and it's something that each and every one of us can do. And that's just reduce right. our meat consumption. I'm not vegan. I'm not vegetarian. I eat meat, but I eat meat once a week. And I think, I don't know what the average is in Israel, but I guess it's around 5-6 times a week to eat meat. If you only reduce, let's say, twice or three times the amount of meat that you consume per week, that is a huge help if it comes from millions, tens of millions, and then billions of people. And that's where I'm thinking about the food industry. That's what I want.
So now I'm going to ask you, so you're a strategist, so I get to ask you a strategic question that I've been pondering myself, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. You know, I'm thinking, what does it take to move the needle for the meat industry, for the vegan industry? Just like yourself, I'm not a vegan and I'm not a vegetarian, but I find myself over time eating less and less meat. And I've always said that once the alternative products give us similar experience to the ones we've gotten accustomed to as a society, only then we'll be able to drive consumer behavior change. So I'm sort of already giving you my own perspective, but I'm curious to hear, what does it really, really take to move the needles? Because it doesn't feel like that more explainability and more convincing is going to do much when it comes down to consumer decision making. So give me a little bit about your take, not just as the founder of Meet the End, but as a strategist who understands the complexity of these moving systems.
Absolutely. So right, what you just said, in every study that I've managed to get, that is trying to identify what makes people buy food or choose a certain food product over the other, there are two main reasons why people, families, make their choices in the supermarket. Number one is taste, and number two is cost. It's not about veganism or about the world or environment.
Right.
It's much more about cost and how, and if it's tasty or not. And this is why, what I think is that the way we can help accelerate the switch from meat to meat alternatives is by giving out more attractive, more tasty solutions. Only if the industry will know how to create very appealing and tasty meat alternatives and to do it at the right cost, will we be able to make difference in the big numbers. That's the
and that so if we're and so and, so if we're now looking at the gap between that, what you just said as a strategy to where we're at today, what needs to happen for us to make this leap, and where does meet the end, where does it fall into this puzzle that's happening?
I think the solution is in one word, which is industry. Right from the start, our company was thinking industry, talking industry, trying to come up with solutions that are industry relevant. In the food business, in the food tech business, especially if you're doing innovation, you begin with lab scale. Think of the difference between a kitchen where you make a cake and your kitchen and a factory when you produce tons of that thing every day. We need solutions that are tasty and cheap and that you can produce them mass scale, because animal protein is produced mass scale and you have to come up with alternatives that are also mass scale. So right from the start, first thing I did was to speak with as many industry veterans that I could from Israel and outside. And the founders of MeatTheEnd, the bunch of senior technologists coming from Unilever, Nestle, and Strauss. Strauss Group is, as you know, one of the largest food companies in Israel. One of our founders was chief technologist for Nestle Israel. Another one was chief mechanical engineer for Unilever Israel, and so on and so on. We have a group of really well-experienced veterans of this industry. And what is the advantage that we have here is not only because of their specific expertise in plant-based development, but also their understanding in strategy of food industry, in the backstage of food industry, in how you communicate with food companies. So this is a startup that is, although we are just a baby startup 2 years old, we are always aiming to talk like the big player and to offer them solutions that are relevant in terms of ingredient price, of the relevance of our ingredients to their production techniques and so on. If we manage to find solutions that are industry oriented in scope, in production techniques, in the kind of ingredients we're using, as if we fit into the industry, we will allow the industry to make this transition more quickly and to offer better products for the consumers.
Amazing. And so if we were to talk in 3 to 5 years down the line, and I would ask you now, Ishai, what's your vision for MeatTheEnd? What is the role of MeatTheEnd, you know, very tangibly in within the food tech industry? How would you describe it 3 to 5 years down the line?
It's a global leader of protein ingredients. And I see three steps of getting there. Number one is establishing that thing. So we have an amazing technology for how to modulate texture in meat alternatives and through plant and cultured protein. That's phase number one, getting this thing to work, selling it out in the market, becoming a company on its own right. We're already there. Next month, we are in launching our products in one of the leading food chain companies in the world.
Wow.
That's step one. Step two is making it bigger. Making it so big that you can have influence. And step three, once we become big enough, is to make this impact. I would really want to see a food industry that is more responsible. Food industry that creates healthier food, food that is more healthy to our environment, and a food that is more responsible in the sense that it's transparent and showing the consumers exactly what they're buying. We need to get our food system to reflect our plans for the future as a human race. And for that, we need to take better care of our own health, better care of our planet, and better care of the ingredients that we're using. The way to get there, I think, is to focus on the ingredient side of the food system. So B2B, backstage. You know, something I learned is that all those food companies that we know, the big guys, Nestle and Beyond Meat and Unilever and Hello, these companies are creating marketing and distribution and demand. They are experts of understanding what the consumer wants. But in the end, the companies that make food are the commodities companies. So the companies in the back, those who sell sugar and corn and flour and so on and so on. And I think that a way to make this industry more responsible is to be involved in the backstage in the B2B industry.
I love the intent. Yeah, it sounds like you've given this a lot of thought and you're being very intentional and strategic with what it means to become a game changer here, not just for selling purposes and to succeed as a startup, but really to shift what this industry really needs from the backstage, from the backbone, as you mentioned it. And Ishai, I wish you best of luck with Meet the End, with what it sounds like is a real mission for you to make an impact, following some a really interesting journey that led you there, and there's so many also pieces in your journey that we didn't even get to, so it's even more interesting. So Ishai, best of luck with me in the end. Thank you very very much. Stay safe and stay healthy, and I look forward to following the journey.
Thanks, Eichan. Bye, Likos.